about and learning more about and how we, as we adapt and change the practices we need to fit the new law. So thank you very much for preparing that for us. All right. And all of the materials that were part of that today that we received and were able to see ahead of time will be included in the minutes that will be posted online. So they'll be available for everyone else to read as well.
Mr. Chair, just one more thing. We do have a lot of documentation on the changes and the new law that we thought we don't want to give too much and not useful information.
Right.
But if you or anybody from the public wants it, we can give it to you or to them. Okay. It's a lot of information out there.
Okay. All right. With that, before we move on to the report from the executive director, I know we did have a couple more people come in. Nancy, the person sitting next to you, if they could go ahead and introduce themselves.
This is Crystal Platt. Sorry I was late.
Oh, that's all right.
Hi, Crystal.
Hey, Crystal.
And then we had one other person.
Ozentoski. I'm sorry I'm late, too. You guys helped me out.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us, both of you. We're glad you were able to make it. We're just getting your names for the record. So, Carlos, if we'll go ahead and move on to the report from the executive director.
Sure. I'm going to start with some client statistics for fiscal year 2017 under the Older Blind and Independent Living Services. We have 328 applicants accepted for services. There were 201 in the beginning of the year. So as total, we serve 529 clients during this fiscal year. Out of those 529, 311 clients were closed successful. Out of those, 8 were referred to VR services. 30 clients were closed and successful for different reasons, such as 9 diseased, 2 institutionalized, 14 other reasons, and 5 withdrew. So a total of 188 clients who remain on active status at the end of this past fiscal year. For vocational rehabilitation services, 185 clients were accepted for services. 22 applicants were not accepted for services for the following reasons. 6 unable to locate, 1 did not require VR services, 5 of them had no disabling conditions, 4 refused further services, 3 all other reasons, and 3 no longer interested in receiving services. 320 clients were on active status at the beginning of the year, plus the 185, give a total of 505 clients. Out of those 505, 46 clients were closed successful, 65 were closed unsuccessful after an IPE was developed for the following reasons. 4 were diseased, 3 disability too severe, 1 does not require VR services, 2 medical reasons, 5 no longer interested in receiving services, and 24 refuse further services. 4 transferred to another agency, and 1 was unable to, 12 unable to locate, and 10 any other reasons. Now, six clients were closed before an IP was developed. Two refused services, and four unable to locate or contact. A total of 387 clients remain in active status. Now, I just want to clarify, because at my report that I sent you, I put a total of 504 by the end, but it's 505, okay? Mm-hmm. It was corrected. I double checked with Julie. The supervisors and counselors are working to make sure that we continue to provide quality services with the limited budget due to the lack of extra, due to the lack of realignment that we didn't get this year. We just get 85,000. By the end of August, the field supervisors, Bill Brown and I, had a meeting with a statewide negotiation with the WIOA local boards, and we started some discussion on how much each partner will contribute with the American Job Centers, or OJCs. AJC. After several weeks of negotiations, almost 2 months, we did came with an agreement. Basically, we said that we will contribute according to how many of our clients will benefit from the American Job Center. So, our contribution for Greater Nebraska will be $25.68 for each month, up to 21 months. That's the contract that we have. For Lynn, it will be $77.41 per month, also for 21 months. And Omaha will be $329.67 up to 18 months. Now, this big difference in Omaha is because in the other two American Job Centers, we don't have a counselor working there at any time. In Omaha, we do have a counselor going there once a week, so we had to pay for the space there. Mm-hmm. And also, there are more clients in the Omaha area. August 31st, I sent an email to Mr. Rasmussen, the Division of Administrative Services person in charge of coordinating the development and implementation of Fusion. It's the new software for the state that will manage all the data. And I expressed my concern that it would not be accessible to blind people if it's not programmed and tested from the beginning. The next day, the Director of Administrative Services, Byron Diamond, called me about my concern. And after I explained to him the situation, he assured me, he said that if it's not accessible to the blind, they are not going to implement it. Later that week, I also had a meeting with the ADA task force. I'm a member of that force, and mentioned to them that concern. So I asked them to support us, and unanimously they voted to support this effort. So I wanted it to be in the records in case we have trouble in the future. Now, this is not in the report because Carol just went yesterday to a meeting with Mr. Rasmussen, and we are predicting that we are going to have the same problem that we had several years ago with the previous software, meaning they say that it's accessible because they use some kind of test, but the blind person is not testing it. Mm-hmm. So we were talking in the car about that, and I suggested to Chairman Hanson to see if he will accompany me, Bill Brown, and Carol, to talk to the Director of Administrative Services to talk about his concern. So that's the last on that area of fusion.
You tell me the date, I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll talk to him and check when. On September 1st, Bill Brown, Bob Deaton, Shane Burrish, and I had a conference call with RSA. So they told us that we needed to work on developing and implementing a policy for pre-AIDS. We were told that we need to have a plan of action. I just want to make a parenthesis. I told them or asked them to give us some guidance and send us a draft or some policy. And they said they will send the guidance. And all they did was send Bob a list of links. Mm-hmm. And each link took him to different documents that has nothing to do with the guidance. So that was just a parenthesis. By the end of September, we completed, or actually Bob did complete it, the plan of action, and it was submitted September 29th. I didn't send you that plan of action. Would you like to see those, Commissioner? It basically tells us the date when we are going to submit what for the next year or so to RSA.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would actually.
Okay. I would.
Kathy, can you take a note of that so we can send them?
I don't want you doing any extra work, whatever you've got. Whatever.
No, it's already there, so we can just send it to you.
That'd be great.
In September, I attended the monthly meeting of the Omaha Association of the Blind, and in October, I attended the state convention of the NFB of Nebraska. During both events, I had a chance to chair NCBVI's chair as well as listen to consumer input and concerns. Bob and Nancy Flero completed a Pillbowl grant. It's a grant that we usually apply and get from the Omaha organization. We should be hearing from them by the end of December. Bob Deaton also completed a draft of a comprehensive history of rehabilitation services for the blind in Nebraska, now NCBVI, which I will be sharing with you too after we have a last draft.
Well, it's not last draft.
It's not yet?
No, I'm making another major revision.
That's what I mean, will be in the future.
Okay. Are you rewriting history, Bob?
In the area of human resources, Nancy Burdine was hired on August 31st, replacing the position of Wes Majerus, so she will be our new technology manager position. And she should be completing her 4 months training at the center by the end of December. Nancy comes from the Department of Transportation, and she had experience on doing a lot of networking and computer management. I think I sent you an email about that when we offered her the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carol Jenkins was promoted to Deputy Director for Services. And she's still supervising the center for a few more months until we do some more work on restructuring. So thank you, Carol, for helping the agency to save money and running that. Bill Brown announced that he will be retiring in August 2018. So Bill Brown and I met with the Director of State Personnel to basically make sure that she knows we're thinking about restructuring the agency as people are retiring, because we already have a succession planning that we did a few years ago. And I think all of you guys should have that. Maybe some of the new commissioners don't, but we put a succession planning and basically says when people are retiring, we need to reevaluate whether or not we need to hire a new person in that position or reshape the position. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we will be having only one deputy director. So we also talked to the state personnel about that we want to reclassify the position. So instead of having two deputy directors, we will have only one. So we came up with a plan, and whenever the time comes, we will implement it. We also talk about hiring in advance for the position Bill Brown will be vacating. As you know, the office that Bill runs is almost like the engine of the agency. So we need a person well trained when he leaves. Mm-hmm. And we are thankful that he announced in advance, you know, well in advance when he's leaving. So we are asking state personnel to hire his replacement 6 to 7 months in advance, so the person can be at the center for the 600 hours, which is close to 4 months, and then Bill will have a chance to train that new person for 2 or 3 months. We cut a verbal agreement, but bureaucracy is giving us some obstacles because they want Bill to write basically everything he's doing, and even though it's just the same position. Well, I'm not going to overwhelm you with the extra stuff, but there are some just bureaucratic obstacles there. Josie Rodriguez, our rehab tech from Escasa Plaza, is retiring on November 16th. Then Cheryl Polf also announced that she's retiring on December 22. Connie Carlo, the rehab tech from Norfolk, is retiring December 15th. And in her case, we also just completed the process of hiring her replacement because, like Bill Brown, she does provide a lot of support to the business office. So she will have around 2 or 3 weeks to train the new person who starts on November 17th. I think Connie Daly sent you an email about a new hire. Her name is Stephanie Olson, if I'm not mistaken. The following staff were recognized for the years of service. Connie Carlo, 35 years. Nancy Flero, who is here, 35 years. And he's working for the agency, right?
Yes.
Now, Fritz Naffer is 30 years working for the state. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nancy Kaufman, 30 years working for the agency. Larry Mackey, also 30 years working for the agency. Bob Dito, who is here too, also 30 years working for the agency. Cindy Zimmers, 25 years working for the state, but at least 22 out of that working for the agency. And Cheryl Livingstone, 20 years, from which 18 is working for the agency. Julie Purin and Jeff Almond were recognized by the governor for their excellence of leadership. It was an award. Then Erin Brandyberry and Shane Burridge completed the leadership training at the National Rehabilitation Leadership Institute from San Diego. They just completed that a couple of weeks ago. Kathy Stevens and Bob Titton are finishing working on the revision for the rules and regulations for the state. And then once they are completed, they will send for a public hearing, but before that to the commissioner, so you can also take a look at that. The 2018 State Staff Meeting has been scheduled. It will be in Lincoln in April 11 and 12. One of the reasons we decided to have it in Lincoln is also to help us save some money for room and board. The AWARE transition was successful. Staff members worked very diligently transferring the data from eForce into AWARE. Connie Daly and I attended the Federal Legislative Summit, and this was with the legislators, national legislators from Nebraska, and this was put by the Chamber of Commerce last summer. In addition, field staff is getting involved with businesses to build partnership and to network. Some staff members are also getting training with leadership programs in their communities. Being involved in these events will help get some leadership skills as well as having an opportunity to network in their communities and therefore get jobs for our clients. Our complaint with the City of Lincoln filed by County Detailing on our behalf was found in our favor. As a result, County Daly was appointed to the Lincoln Workforce Board, and the application that the American Job Center was working on was made accessible. County was also invited to participate in the Lincoln Business Task Force, which is a group of managers who meet monthly to share contacts and jobs opportunities. Our district supervisors continue to attend the local WIOA board meetings and representing NCCBVI. Erin Brandyberry, our North Platte district supervisor, was appointed to the local board on October 27. Now, I want to make a parenthesis here. One of the local board members in the greater Nebraska is the mayor of Lexington, who is blind, and he was one of our clients. So he advocated for Erin to be on the board because he knows the kind of jobs we do with employers. Nancy Flerl attended a national training with the Helen Keller National Center, so we can enhance successful employment for deafblind outcomes for deafblind individuals. The Lincoln District and the Transition Coordinator continue to build a relationship with the Nebraska Center for the Education of Children who are Blind and Visually Impaired, NCECBVI, that's what I'm going to start saying. We are scheduling a meeting with the director on December 12th, which will help us building opportunities for blind people in Nebraska. The Nebraska Center has 5 people in training, 4 of them clients and 1 staff member. Several clients graduated and few canceled their starting day of training due to health reasons and personal issues. We continue to get tours at the center for clients and are scheduling future dates for training. In the area of Nebraska business enterprises, the second week of October, we opened 4 locations with the Nebraska Department of Corrections in Lincoln. 2 of them were given to a current operator and 2 to a person who is on training. I want to make another parenthesis here because after I sent you this report, I was talking more to Kerry DeFries and asked why we are getting only the lobbies on the Department of Correction, which is just 3 machines. People wait in the lobby for a little bit, and then they go into the visiting areas where their real business is. I'm not going to get into all the details, but the outcome is that they told us that we can get also the visitor area. So the good news is whoever gets that location is going to make way more money than what we thought. And the little wrinkle is that we have to spend more money on buying the machines.
Yeah.
But that's what we're about there. And the same will happen for the other client, and we are planning to do that here in Omaha too. There are 2 candidates currently on training. One of them is the one that I mentioned from Lincoln, who completed his training and on the job training, and he already is starting on the 16th. of October. The other person has completed his training with the Hadley Institute and should begin his training when he's available, dealing with some personal issues. Another facility for vending was open at the Social Security building in Open, but this was added to a current vendor. Many of our current and also new operators are getting training with the Hadley Institute for the Blind. There is a full program that many of the new vendors are taking, and there are some individual courses for those who are already vendors. Kerry DeFries worked full time from May through September at the Camp Ashland facility of the National Guard because the previous vendor had to leave and we needed to fulfill our contract with the National Guard. A new blind operator completed his OJT. You guys know what OJT is, right? Okay, I'm sorry, I don't want to. Okay, his OJT, and he started to manage the facility in September. In discussion with the Army, we learned that they are going green all over the nation, which means that all dining facilities will be run by military personnel. That means that they're going to put away the blind operators. They are saying that they will give us 60 to 90 days of notice before they terminate our contract. The idea is that they will get a new separate agreement for dining facilities for attendant services, meaning that the military will run the cafeteria, but the attendant service will be the cleaning crew, and that's for ability ones that you were talking about, Mark. Mm-hmm. So they are in competition with the blind in some ways. So I told Kerry, Kerry DeFries to talk to Jim Hancock about this situation. And their understanding, the National Guard understanding, is the JWOD, which is the Chavez-Wagner OD Act, will take priority over Randolph Shepard. So again, I told Kerry to talk to Susan Gashel, who is an expert on Randolph Shepard. She talked to Gashel, and Susan Gashel helped us to draft a letter explaining that Randolph Shepard has priority over JWOD. And I sent you that letter, correct? I think you saw that.
Yeah.
Now, because of that, now they are not talking to us about that at all, because that's the legal procedure. Once they get a legal letter like that, only between lawyers talk about those things. Mm-hmm. So I will be letting you know what comes up. But they were supposed to give us the letter over a month ago, and they haven't. We'll see what happens.
Carlos.
Yes, sir.
So going green means that's the color of the uniform.
Correct.
So that's the only person that's gonna
be. In the beginning,
be
I thought they all want to be vegetarian, but I don't know.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So with that, Carlos, going green, they're going to hire, they're supposedly, what you wrote here is they're hiring military personnel to fill those roles, but yet, the letter to JWOD, I guess I'm still a little confused about that. Are they not hiring military staff? Was there intention to hire dependents? What?
Okay, yeah, the deal is they will have their own military staff to do the cooking and the serving.
Okay.
But civilians, in this case, JWOD, will do the cleaning.
Okay, and so we're trying to gain that, to continue to retain that portion of it?
Not the cleaning.
Not the cleaning.
At least the cleaning, because there's some money there too for a
right
operator.
Okay.
But in their definition, they say that it's not a cafeteria anymore, it's just serving, and they're misinterpreting that because there is a Supreme Court, no, it's not a Supreme Court, it's a circuit court decision that says that it's a cafeteria.
Okay.
And we have priority.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
Not only that, but also they are citing a proposed rule. It's not a rule yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So continuing with MBE, in August, two potential teaming partners met with Offutt Air Base to again look at a big cafeteria. The problem is that they're still saying that we need to come up with $1.5 million to increase the cafeteria. So the teaming partners submitted several questions, and I sent it to Offutt, and they haven't sent a response yet. I sent a letter to them with the questions in September 18th. I sent another email last week, but haven't heard from them yet. When this comes implemented, or the building is finished and the employers move to that new building, it will be by the summer of 2019. So there's still time there. For sure we will get the vending machines, but more and more it looks like it's going to be tougher and tougher to get the cafeteria, because there's no teaming partner that wants to come up with $1.5 million to run it. There's some guys who want to do it, but the military are not going to take them because they don't have a 5 years experience running cafeteria. So just want you to know that for now.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Gashwell also wrote a letter to RSA requesting arbitration against the Veterans Administration. RSA responded in the beginning of October stating that we are supposed to be working with the VA and agreeing which facilities the canteen operators, who are some folks that they contract, or we will operate. So the VA appointed the attorney, and according to Susan Gashon, they are not going to agree on anything, so then the Department of Education will have to wait for the 90 days and appoint an arbitrator. So we will be lucky if we get some results before the end of December, but if not, RSA will appoint an arbitrator. That's all the report I have, unless you have questions for me.
I have a question for you, Carlos. You talked about the Norfolk position being rehired. Any thoughts of rehiring anybody for Josie's job, even if it's only part-time?
We talked about that. Aaron Brandyberry and Carol Jenkins also talked about that. For now, correct me, Carol, if I'm missing anything here. For now, Aaron thinks that Adrian Moody, who is working full-time, can handle the three offices because that's what she was doing when Josie wasn't there.
Right.
Ill. Mm-hmm. So, but they're evaluating. We are not going to eliminate that position, so it's not that we're not thinking about rehiring, but we want to make sure that when we do, it will help the office in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, because it would be more than secretarial work, it'd be actually doing some type counseling, kind of like what Josie did, probably.
Yeah. Did I miss anything, Carol?
No, that's it.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions from anybody?
I have one. Mm-hmm. So going from two directors to, or deputy directors to one director, what is the reasoning behind that?
From two deputy directors to one deputy director? Mm-hmm. Well, going back to the history of the, since I came here, and Robert knows before that, I'm sure, but we used to have before only one deputy director.
Yes.
Okay, then the services for older blind grew. In fact, we used to have 3 times more clients on the older blind area than VR. So it was tough back then that they needed 2 deputy directors, one for older blind and independent living, and another for VR. And as years went by, things keep evolving, and like I reported, RSA is putting more emphasis on just VR and being very strict on not spending money or time on older blind. So each time, less and less time and efforts are put into older blind. That's the main reasoning. Yeah. I could talk more about, you know, a closed meeting as well.
But that doesn't give the one director double duty, right? I mean,
the deputy. Not really, because again, we used to have like 2,000 older blind clients. Now we have 500. Yeah.
So I mean, the one director will be doing the job of both, but
correct.
It's just that
less clients.
What with those two positions don't have the case, the client load that they once had. So it's an opportunity to merge the two roles back together again.
Well, and also one of the problems that we had and still have some is that the supervisor, field supervisors, used to carry a case load, and I want to make sure that they are supervisors, not a counselor, because they get paid to be supervisors. So the supervisor should be able to manage that, and that will help also the deputy director to orchestrate better the services.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for asking that question. I'm sure several people wonder about.
Anybody else have any other questions?
No, sir.
Okay.
Yep. Very good. Well, I just want to personally thank you for coming and speaking with the Omaha Association of Blind. And
thank you.
You and I had an opportunity to meet to talk about some ACB involvement, so I appreciate that. And,
yep. Put me in the spot anytime.
Yeah. And I just wanted to ask, how's the new job going?
Well, I want to thank Dr. Van Zandt again, because she was very transparent and working with the team for several years. So there is nothing that she was hiding that I didn't know. And then during the transition, we met and shared a lot. And like somebody told me too, because I was getting a little nervous, I think it's normal. But the fact that I'm being a deputy director for 19 years and working next to Pearl for all those years, I'm comfortable, and I'm working with you, who know the passion of the agency and the direction we want to go, make things much easier. And of course, having people like Carol, Bob, and the supervisors, it's just the right place to be. So, feeling good.
Good. And I guess the only other comment was, I'm glad to see that we're on the WIOA boards statewide and locally. I don't know how you did it, but I'm glad it worked out. So.
Well, take some.
Yeah.
Take some. Pushing,
I think,
and
that's somewhere where we need to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be on the state, but I met with the director of VR, and he is not on the board either. Mm-hmm. I thought he was, but the one who is the commissioner of education, so he's representing the VR interest. Any other questions for me?
I do not.
Okay.